the glass woman enables us to look into the internal structure of the human body. We can see the skeleton, the larger veins, arteries and nerves, as well as the major internal organs in their natural position and size. The brain is the most highly developed organ in the human body. It lies within the cranium, well protected by three layers of membranes. The brain is the most important part of the nervous system and influences everything we do, although we are not always aware of this. As a result of external stimuli, perceptions, images, and thoughts originate within the brain, as well as impulses for conscious actions. The brain is also the most vulnerable human organ. Even a few minutes' interruption of the supply of blood to the brain results in irreversible damage. To maintain its function, the brain, like every part of the body, needs oxygen and the energy provided by our nourishment. The oxygen from the air is given to the blood through the respiratory system. First of all, the air is breathed in through the nose or mouth and is conducted via the pharynx to the larynx, or voice box, which forms the entrance to the trachea, or windpipe. The larynx consists of several cartilages, which are moved by a muscular process, thus tensioning or loosening the vocal cords. If air is forced through the larynx, these cords vibrate to produce the various sounds which make up the voice. The epiglottis is folded back over the larynx when swallowing, to prevent food being misdirected into the windpipe. The thyroid gland is located below the larynx in front of the windpipe. It stores the iodine in our food and turns it into a hormone called thyroxine. This hormone stimulates metabolism in the whole body. By secreting various amounts of the hormone into the bloodstream, the thyroid gland regulates the level necessary to prevent functional disturbances. The lungs occupy the major part of the cavity on both sides of the chest. They receive the air conducted through the larynx and windpipe and provide the blood circulating through the lung vesicles in tiny blood vessels with oxygen. At the same time, carbon dioxide present in the blood as a result of metabolic processes in the body passes from the blood into the lungs and is breathed out. Blood enriched with oxygen through this process then reaches the heart, which pumps it into the arteries for distribution to the entire body. The heart lies behind the breastbone and extends into the left side of the chest. It is a hollow muscle divided into two sections by a partition. The left side of the heart pumps the well-oxygenated blood from the lungs into the large artery, whereas the right-hand side receives the blood containing carbon dioxide from the veins and pumps it into the lungs where the gas exchange takes place. On the left side of the abdominal cavity lies the spleen. It is to be found just beneath the diaphragm, dividing the chest from the abdomen, behind the stomach. It absorbs toxic substances from the blood, neutralizes bacteria, and also dissolves the used blood cells. The iron thus released is stored in the spleen and used again as new red blood cells are formed. Food is the source of energy for the body. It is masticated by the teeth and mixed with the juice secreted by the salivary glands in the mouth, where digestion begins. Via the gullet, the food reaches the stomach. This is a very elastic muscular tube. Its walls contain innumerable glands producing hydrochloric acid and pepsin, an enzyme which digests the proteins. This is an important stage in the digestive process. From the stomach, the food is passed into the upper end of the small intestine, the duodenum. A short distance down it, two ducts connect with big digestive glands. One of these is the pancreas. As it is covered by the stomach, it can only be viewed from the rear of the glass woman. The pancreas secretes two kinds of juices, an enzyme which flows into the duodenum and insulin. This latter enters the blood directly from the patches of cells situated in the pancreas and regulates the sugar content of the blood. The enzyme from the pancreas contains elements which break up the proteins and convert starch into glucose. The biggest digestive gland is the liver, which performs many tasks. By excreting bile, it helps to break up fats in the duodenum. It may also be compared to a chemical laboratory. Dissolved food, brought to it via the portal vein, is converted into substances for the nourishment of the cells of the body. Surplus glucose, serving as an energy reserve for the muscles, is stored by the liver in the form of glycogen. The bile collects in the gallbladder, which lies directly beneath the liver. Whenever necessary, the bile flows into the duodenum in order to break up the fat there. The daily excretion of bile amounts to nearly 1 liter. In the small intestine, which is 5 to 7 meters long, the food is moved along by undulating contractions of the muscular coat of the tube. The numerous minute projections called villi, which line the small intestine, absorb the material which has been well mixed with the digestive juices. The fats which have been broken down into tiny particles are carried away through the lymphatic channels. Proteins and carbohydrates are absorbed through the blood vessels in the small intestine into the general circulation. So it is here that the nourishing substances, proteins, fats, and carbohydrates are absorbed, as well as the greater part of the other substances the body requires, vitamins, minerals, and water, etc. The cecum is the pouch-like beginning of the large intestine. The small intestine empties into it, and attached to it is the appendix, an approximately 5 centimeter long worm-like structure. The bacteria in the cecum break up the cellulose contained in vegetable matter by a process of putrefaction and fermentation. The large intestine can be divided into 3 parts, the ascending colon, the transverse colon, and the descending colon, along which the thickened remains of indigestible material are passed until they reach the rectum, the last section of the alimentary canal. At the end of the rectum, there is a ring-shaped muscle which is voluntarily inhibited. Most of the water has been absorbed into the large intestine, so that these remains are nearly solid. Intestinal bacteria help to digest the remaining nutritive substances. The glands in this intestine excrete mucous matter which mixes with these useless remains in order to protect the delicate membranes from irritation. In addition, the intestinal glands constantly excrete waste substances from the system. The 2 kidneys are to be found outside the abdominal cavity to the left and right of the lumbar spine. About 1,000 liters of blood pass through the kidneys every day. Excess water and impurities, urea, for example, that have to be eliminated from the system, are passed out from the blood by the kidneys and converted into urine. This passes down the tubes to collect in the central space of the kidney. From there, it drains into the tubes called ureters and finally into the bladder. The bladder is a very muscular, elastic sac situated behind the pubic bone within the small pelvis. The urine collects in the bladder, which has a capacity of about 0.5 liter. There is a muscular ring around its opening. By a voluntarily inhibited reflex, the muscular ring relaxes, the bladder contracts, and so empties itself to the exterior through the urethra. The female urethra is shorter and wider than that of the male. The two ovaries form part of the female reproductive organs. From the approximately 400,000 primordial follicles which are produced in the course of a lifetime, about 500 mature. About every 28 days, one of these releases a ripe ovum, which, if it is fertilized, can develop into a new human being. This ovum is passed along the oviduct, a sinuous tube lined with ciliated cells, into the uterus. The uterus is a muscular cavity lined with mucous membrane, specially adapted for the reception and sustenance of the fertilized ovum until it is ready to be born, a process which takes 9 months. If the ovum is not fertilized, it passes out of the body with the menstrual flow, which also contains the extra tissue of the uterus lining prepared to receive it. All the parts of the body have to work together to produce a well-developed and healthy human being. We ourselves can contribute towards this, chiefly by eating the right kind of food in the right amounts. We should not burden the body by a one-sided, unsuitable diet, but give it all the substances necessary for its growth and maintenance of its functions. A well-balanced diet should contain the correct proportions of proteins, fat, carbohydrates, water, vitamins, salts, etc. The reward is increased energy and a sense of well-being.